I'm gonna let you do this one.
Yeah, I figured. I already got the tagline. What's up? This is Movies on Up, the party you've only dreamed about. I'm Dave, joined by the co-host I could only dream about, Mr. Ryan.
It is always a party when we get together.
He's Ryan, I'm Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, the party you've only dreamed about. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, it will be our project to put together a Movies on Up prize package to mail out to you.
On X Day.
Yes. This week, Booksmart is coming out, starring Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein, directed by Olivia Wilde, and it looks great. It's one of the first ones this summer. We have The Bad Kids, I think it's called, later on, the one produced by Seth Rogen. So we have like two fun-looking high school coming-of-age party movies. Booksmart, it's two girls that are finally going to a party before summer starts. There was a couple ways we could have went this week. I had thought, do you want to do favorite female high school movies? You know, focus on like Easy A, Clueless, maybe anything else.
Probably would have been much easier to do in hindsight.
In hindsight, or high school party movies, since this is about going to a party. Because off the top of my head, there are three that I love. There are three high school party movies I absolutely love. And yes, I would love to bring those up and do them. So I mentioned that. And Ryan said, I think party would be funner. Was it?
Well, I'm not sure if it was more fun. I'm sure it would have been easier to do the lady route.
I can rattle them off. 17 again, or whatever the...
The Zac
Edge
Efron
of 17.
Was?
Yeah. Edge of 17, Clueless, right. Mean Girls,
Easy A.
Bam.
Yeah.
That's a list.
I guess I got to thinking, like, what the hell is a party movie? When it comes to a high school party, how much of the plot has to revolve around the party? Is it something we build to the whole movie? This is the climax. Is it a scene that happens in the middle and there's pivotal stuff that comes out in the party and affects the rest of the movie? What is a high school party movie?
It's all of those things.
Yeah.
It's all of those things. One of mine is the journey to the party, where the party is the end destination. One of mine is the party. There's those, and then outside of those, I got to thinking, what is a high school party movie?
Right.
Like, after those, and my criteria was kind of like, was the party relevant? Did something come out of the party, or was it relevant to the characters? I mean, it could be anything. I was maybe a little bit more prepared for this, because one of the scripts I've been writing is a high school party movie. So I've been watching a lot of, not necessarily the full movies, but scenes to kind of get it. So like, I've been doing other research. So like, I had stuff I could pull back on. But when it came to stuff that like I really loved, that I wanted to talk about on this episode, that's where it got kind of tough. So I mean, I could rattle off, you know, a dozen movies where there's a pivotal scene that takes place at a high school party. But
because, of course, if you're talking about a high schooler's existence, what else do they have other than going to parties? You know what I mean? Like, that's always...
If it's not a high school football movie, it's a high school party movie,
essentially. Basically, nothing else goes on in high school.
Like, which technically, prom is a party.
Prom is a party. Some of my parties take place post-prom and some before. But they're all integral to the plot at some point.
Yeah, like, I can rattle off, and I don't want to keep, like, blockers. You know, it doesn't focus on them, but that's a big part of it. I could just keep going, but I don't want to... I could have mentioned your whole list by now, because I'm just throwing stuff off. So your number five favorite high school party movie
is one that the party is not the first thing you think of. When I think of John Hughes's Weird Science from 1985, the first thing I think of is Kelly LeBrock. You also think of Anthony Michael Hall and Ian Mitchell Smith. It's that creation scene of Lisa. We understand the motivations for Gary and Wyatt to create this girl of their dreams. It's to make some other girls jealous enough to leave their douche boyfriends, one douche, played by Robert Downey Jr. But the movie makes the list because of Lisa's motivations. For being a creation of two lusty teenage boys, she actually really has her shit together and is all about empowerment. She wants to put Wyatt and Gary into situations where they won't make these girls jealous, but they will earn the respect of these high school girls. And what better way to do that than throw a party and have some mutant bikers crash it. It is very easy to look back on this pervy creation of the idealized woman, but that woman had plans of her own, and it was to be a positive mentor for these two idiots. So at the end of the day, Lisa gets the last laugh. This movie is about these two horny boys, and they think the way to get into these girls' pants is to make them jealous of all this shit that we have. But from the girl's perspective, it's no, quit being a loser. Get your shit together. Get a little bit of confidence. Actually, talk to girls and you will be amazed what'll happen. So I thought that was a good way to turn things around.
It was almost on my list because when I think of this movie, the first thing I think of is the party scene. Chet getting transformed and the bikers and everything. So.
The frozen grandparents and the
So this was very high on my almost made it list. But I tried to get a little out there and try to think of stuff that maybe you wouldn't have and that maybe we haven't mentioned yet before on the show. So I went back to 1995, starring a couple of great actors, Matt Frewer of Max Headroom fame and Jeremy Renner, who you might know from the Fourth Bourne movie, from 1995, directed by Kelly Macon. It is National Lampoon's Senior Trip. Renner is Mark Daggs DeGostino. Rob Moore is his friend Reggie Berry. They throw a party at the principal's house during school and get caught. It is a Nash Lampoon's movie, but Jeremy Renner rules in it. Matt Frewer, I love in everything. It has Tara Strong on screen for one of the few times, the voice of every cartoon character that is awesome. The party at the beginning at the principal's house is the main party, but there's a lot of partying through the whole movie, so I had no problem. The party kicks it off, and then the whole trip turns into kind of a party. It's just such a stupid premise that's just dumb. It's a mid-90s National Lampoon movie, and that's exactly what you get. Like, I'm not going to say it's extra than that, but that's what you get, but it's fun.
You get a lot of partying in my number four. You had mentioned movies that are all about the party, and that is what 1998's Can't Hardly Wait is, directed by Deborah Kaplan and Harry Alfont, starring Ethan Embry, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and Lauren Ambrose. Most of the rest of my movies, and I would say even Weird Science fits into that, where the climax is at the party. This movie is all climax. The whole story is at this post-graduation party. It's the last hurrah for our recently graduated seniors, and one last chance for Embry's Preston to confess his love to the prettiest girl in school, Amanda Beckett. Apart from Preston, many of the characters have their own reasons to attend the party, and those stories intersect kind of nicely. It's not necessarily a high school movie. We don't meet any of these kids until after they graduate. But even without knowing them or seeing them progress through even a truncated school year, their motivations are clear, and we're still able, even within that one night that we see them, to see some growth in the characters. And when they do change and they do come to realizations, it does seem earned, all despite the fact that you've really only been with these characters for a couple hours. I love the Jerry O'Connell cameo. Jenna Elfman's got a good one as well. It's a bottle movie, and that bottle just happens to contain enough alcohol to allow even the biggest nerd to karaoke with the best of them. This is one of the first ones that came to my mind because it's all about the party, but it's not necessarily the party as the climax to high school so much as it is the start of the rest of their lives. It's about who they're going to become after high school. That's why I love the Jerry O'Connell cameo so much. He shows up and tells Amanda's ex-boyfriend, "I was you in high school. I broke up with my girlfriend because I was going to go to college and smash poon." Well, guess what? Guys like us are a dime a dozen. I love that dose of reality and the fact that this character sucks so bad that now he just comes back to high school parties. Great movie.
This was much higher up my list, but I'll make it my number four just to keep it going. Until around 2007, this was the Bible of high school college movies, I think. This was on such a high pedestal for me. I graduated in 1998, so I mean, maybe that hits home, is that this came out as I graduated high school. So that has a lot to do with it. But as in researching for a high school party movie, this is one that I go back to regularly because you have all the different stories. You have Seth Green, Lauren Ambrose's two separate stories, and then they come together. You have the band is such a good ongoing gag with Donald Faison, and they're good characters for what they're supposed to do. And I love the Jenna Elfman cameo about the Barry Manilow song. Like that, she is so good in that. It's such a good scene. Her and Ethan Embry are just so good in that scene, and it's one of my favorites from this era. Just that scene is so good. And just him, his journey the whole time, and her journey, and everybody else, and it captures high school well. Because, I mean, go through most of the characters. You have Jock 2, Jock 3, X-File 1, X-File 2, Homeboy 1, Guitar Player, Drummer, Girlfriend 1, Keg Guy, Beer Drinker, Watermelon Guy, Stoner Guy, Hippie Girl, Hippie Guy. Like, these are the characters. Like, those are the people you go to high school with. I knew Stoner Guy. I knew Hippie Guy, Hippie Girl. I knew Jock 2.
They're characters.
Yeah. And they all played them well. And even your Corsmo and Embry and Love Hewitt and Fasinelli, they're playing caricatures, but with some depth to them. And the soundtrack was awesome. Like,
yeah.
It was...
The songs that are on the soundtrack are good, and they absolutely just warp you right back to 1998. But the songs that aren't even on the soundtrack, but they're just playing at the party, are much better.
I would go to this party. I would sign Melissa Joan Hart's yearbook. Like, I would go. I would, if I had a time machine and this was a real party, I would go to it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd be there now like Jerry O'Connell, so maybe that's like not a good look. My number three, I want to say it begins with much talk about a party. It ends with a very intimate party, but there is a bigger party and school dance in the middle. There's a lot of partying around Molly Ringwald's birthday in 16 Candles, also directed by John Hughes, starring the aforementioned Ringwald, the also aforementioned Anthony Michael Hall, and Michael Schoefling. In an earlier draft of this list, this spot was going to go to Pretty in Pink, but the more I thought about it, 16 Candles works better for this list. The party scene in Pink does not really work out all that well for Ringwald. She gets humiliated in front of the rich, cool guy that brought her. And let me tell you, Andrew McCarthy is no Michael Schoeferling. Jake Ryan would have never stood for that type of nonsense or treatment of Molly Ringwald. Candle starts with Ringwald's character bitching about the party she's not going to get because everyone's much more concerned with her sister's impending wedding, and she doesn't even go to the post-dance party. But for a party list, two parties trumps one. Ringwald does end up with the cool guy in each movie, though there were some test screenings of Pretty in Pink where she ends up with John Cryer's Ducky. Nobody likes it when the main character ends up with the nerd, so that got switched out for Andrew McCarthy. 601, half dozen of the other, I suppose. But the party scene in 16 Candles is where Jake Ryan, who's been like this, he's curious of her, but he's always a good dude. He's the popular guy, but he never lets that stop him from maybe being interested in someone that's not as popular. He meets up with Anthony Michael Hall's character, and they kind of have this heart-to-heart where I think he's credited as like the geek. This guy, this Farmer Ted or something, has been lusting after her the whole movie. But in true help a brother out fashion, basically tees it up for Jake Ryan. Not that he needed much of a tee. Gives him the underpants, gives him the playbook to go steal Molly Ringwald's heart. And that is exactly what he does. Well, Pretty in Pink has a much more believable high school boy portrayal in McCarthy, and it is the better movie. Candles has at least twice the parties, and that's if you don't count Jake Ryan and Molly Ringwald skipping her sister's reception to go finally have her birthday cake with the 16 candles. So maybe three parties trumps one, and I do like John Hughes movies, which you may be able to tell already, and as long as one of these movies got on here, I was happy enough.
My number three by now. This one was a little tough. I vaguely remember a party scene. I'm pretty sure there's a party scene near the end. But the whole summer is a party in 1987's Summer School, directed by Carl Reiner, starring Mark Harmon, Kirstie Alley, Courtney Thorne-Smith, Dean Cameron, Gary Riley, and Shawnee Smith. When I think of fun high school movies, this is what I think of. Because you have Mark Harmon, who is going on vacation for the summer until he's told he can't, who just doesn't care. So it's just this ragtag group of kids forced into summer school, they just get to party the whole time and go on field trips. This movie is so funny. Chainsaw, played by Dean Cameron, is one of my favorite movie characters of all time. Him and Dave are just nonstop, just fun. Shawnee Smith as the pregnant girl is so good. Courtney Thorne Smith. There's so much going on in this movie. Whereas I said, like, Senior Trip was, that's a National Lampoon's movie. Right. This is what seems like started as a National Lampoon's movie, but then was given to a competent director like Carl Reiner. There's more to it. There is the fun, wacky, National Lampoon-esque stuff, but they're characters. Even Dave and Chainsaw, they have some sort of character to them. Courtney Thorne Smith is really, really good. Shawnee Smith, Ken Oland. The supporting cast are so good. And every one of them, they're characters. They have memorable storylines, and they have memorable growth. I really, really like this movie. And Zipper Got Stuck is one of my favorite lines. Like, just the delivery of that. Where you been? In the bathroom. For 6 weeks? Zipper Got Stuck. Like, it's such a good line, and it's up there with I'll Have What She's Having to me. Like, I think it's that good of a line. It was one of the last ones to come to mind, because there is a party scene near the end, I believe, but it doesn't really stick out. There's so much about this movie that does stick out other than that, but I thought every day they went to class was a party, so I counted it, and that's why it was my number 4 and then got bumped up to my number 3.
No zipper gets stuck, but a garage door gets stuck in my number 2. It is Wes Craven's Scream from 1996, starring Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, and Matthew Lillard. Admittedly, a bit of a departure from the rest of the list. Scream isn't necessarily built around a party like the others, but in true slasher fashion, it is built around gathering together some teens to slash. And it is such a wonderfully self-aware movie, pokes fun at tropes and horror genres that I think even in 96, we all knew were kind of there. But I don't think it was until Scream that anyone other than maybe the most cynical horror fan would sit down and verbalize and list the things that you can't do in a horror movie and expect to live. In a post-Scream world, all that stuff is just painfully obvious. For the purposes of this list, Scream rounds up the principals into an impromptu party where we see several tropes busted, not the least of which is our survivor girl's chastity. Scream doesn't start out to be a party movie, but there are so many good turns in that last third during Stu's party that while it's not necessarily a fun place to be by the end of the movie, it is a fun watch.
I can't argue it on there. The party is big enough in it, and it was one of those that was on my radar, but I kind of left it off, and I didn't really give it a second thought, so I'm glad you put it on there. My number 2 is one of the first ones that came to mind. It was one of the 3 of what I consider the holy trinity of high school party movies. I think of all the episodes we've done, if you take from like 85 to 95, this collectively probably has the most movies on this list, because my number 2 comes from 1990, written and directed by Reginald Hundland, starring Kid in Play. It is House Party. Play's throwing a party. Kid wants to go. Kid gets grounded. Kid sneaks out, and they go to the party of all parties. The cast is Kid and Play, obviously, Robin Harris in one of his last roles, Martin Lawrence, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Be Fine, a bunch of musical artists at that time. It's a time capsule of 1990s, like hip-hop R&B, but as somebody who was listening to a lot of hip-hop R&B in 1990, I still love this movie. I still will watch regularly the party dance scene with Kid and Play against the girls. Like, I absolutely love that, like, unironically. And this is one of those that I feel like when I could profess my love for this movie, I feel like a lot of it comes off as ironic. Like, oh, of course. No, I legit love House Party. And the only reason House Party 2 isn't on that list is because they were in college. So, like,
right, it can't be. Like,
this was a high school party. I legit love this movie. I love Class Action, I think it was called Class Act, yeah. I liked Kid and Play. I loved them. But this movie was just so fun. And, you know, I was around 11 and 90. So, like, these are the kids that I looked up to. Like, I'd have killed to go to one of these kind of parties. So, me as an 11.
Dust off that time machine.
Yeah, me as 11, 12-year-old dude. Like, this is the party I want to go to. So, I love this movie. And any chance I get to bring it up, I'm going to bring it up. So, it was one of the first ones that popped in my head, and it is one that I still watch regularly. I don't mind admitting that. I do love this, and it's less great sequel, Pajama Jam, but then there were a couple others that we don't need, including a recent one that was, ugh. I love this movie so much. There was like a direct-to-VH1 one that came out like a month or so ago, and I tried to watch it.
The Kid and Play?
No. Oh. It was with other people.
This was one of the first two that I thought of, your number two and your number one. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to leave those off because I do know of your affinity for House Party, and it is a genuine affinity. You said like 85 to 95. We have hit a lot of those. I guess for us, being of a relatively similar vintage, you graduated in 98. I was a young middle schooler at that point. I got into high school the next year, and at the end of my freshman year, I remember climbing in to my mom's minivan with like four or five other dudes, however many just recently minted sophomores a minivan would hold, and going to see American Pie in 99, directed by Paul and Chris Weitz, starring Jason Biggs, the Pie Fucker, Chris Klein, Thomas Ian Nichols, Sean William Scott. And I love the John Hughes stuff. If you have never heard me say that before, if you haven't already heard me talk about two John Hughes movies on my list, let me tell you one more time how much I liked that guy. I think American Pie was sort of my generation's version of a John Hughes movie. It's a collection of folks that don't seem to have much in common, and it's a perfect mashup for not only a coming-of-age comedy a la the 1980s stuff, but also like a proto-sex comedy that would kind of go on to dominate the next several years. I saw this the summer after my freshman year, and at that point it was just something completely different. There were a lot of high school movies that were coming out in the early to mid-90s, and I loved them. But I think I felt like I was able to relate more to the American Pie characters than the Mox from Varsity Blues or something like that. The Pie guys were a little more like me. And between everyone's favorite flutist, Michelle, and Mina Savari's Heather, I think the women in this movie, they were treated pretty well. They weren't just characters to lust after, like, oh, here's the hot, buxom cheerleader that maybe has a name, but you just know that, like, oh, these are the two girls that Wyatt and Gary are trying to bang. They actually spent time building these female characters, and they even managed to make Tara Reid seem like a well-adjusted human. We spend the first couple acts with Jim and Oz and Kevin and Finch as they put in some groundwork to cash in on the sex pact that is going to be at the after prom party. And that party works wonderfully because they actually built fully realized characters, not just the men, but, you know, their counterparts as well, which makes the party payoff so much better. It is right up there. In addition to the sexting, there's genuine personal growth. Finch takes down the bully by speaking his payback into existence and fucking his mom on the pool table. That's great. The scene where Oz decides that, you know, he doesn't have to just be a jock anymore. There's just a lot of stuff going on there. And the late 90s had some really great high school movies. But I feel like, for me, American Pie was sort of that perfect party to wrap up that run. Can't Hardly Wait, Varsity Blues.
She's All That.
Yeah.
Like, there was a bunch of
The Rachel Lee Cooks.
Ten Things I Hate About You. That one, yeah.
Yeah, that one, there is a party. Julia Stiles table dances, which is always good in my book. Throws up on a swing set, not as good. But there were a ton of those really great high school movies. And I just thought that American Pie was a really nice bow for that, because I do think that the high school party movies, they switched gears. For the most part, the Rachel Lee Cook stuff, the Jennifer Love Hewitt stuff, the Clarissa stuff, that was all relatively innocent. After American Pie, it was not. They were sex comedies.
Yeah, and this was the...
this was a bit of both.
Yeah, this was, it was a John Hughes movie in a National Lampoon's time.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, I keep bringing that up, but around 95 when Senior Trip came out, there were a lot of National Lampoon movies that came out every few years. So American Pie was the John Hughes National Lampoon movie. It was catapulting this high school movie that we had had so many of around that time and making your parents want to come see it too. Not with you.
Hard
but,
no.
Yeah, but your parents wanted to see
Lynn
it
dropped
too.
Us off, and yeah. I don't know who came to pick us up, but which, nope.
This one almost made it. It was almost one of the last ones to make it. It's one of those that's cheapened by the sequels, because yeah. I feel like if there's a negative connotation now, where if you mention American Pie, you think of the movies and the spinoffs and all that. It does have that cheap taste. But if you want to look at this single movie, American Pie, in that moment in history, absolutely. It's one of my favorite comedies. It's one of my favorite theater-going experiences. I was there opening weekend. Nobody knew what to expect. I loved it. It's a good movie, but it's one of those that has that connotation of what came after it. But if you can just
go back and rewatch this one.
Watch this one as its own. It's a really, really good movie because they're characters. Even Eugene Levy, who's there for comic relief in this funny comedy, he's got some character to him. And it's not just kids that want to get laid. It's kids that are people. And they're really good characters.
They think they want to get laid. And in the quest of getting laid, a bit like Gary and Wyatt in Weird Science, they have to become different people in order to be sexually attractive to someone.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned it with the women. Like, even Natasha Lyonne, she's not one of the objects in this movie.
Right.
But she's a really good character. Tara Reid. Like, all of them are really good characters.
With the possible exception of Santa Elizabeth. But somebody had to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. My number one, though.
And
also,
thank you for your service.
Yeah. Also, really good characters. This one was obvious. I know Ryan knew this was my number one.
It's the only one I wrote down as an also-ran. Then I was like, nah,
if you've heard me talk ever, you know how high of a pedestal I put Greg Mottola's Superbad from 2007 on. This is the high school party movie. This is the male friendship movie. This is the male coming-of-age movie. This is the high school experience movie. I cannot say enough good things about this movie. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg wrote it when they were stupidly young, touched it up as they got famous. Michael Cera and Jonah Hill are so perfect. Their friendship is believable, where I think we're going to talk about The Dirt next week. And,
perhaps.
And
yeah.
It might come up that they didn't feel like they actually
were friends.
This, you feel that. Like, you feel Jonah Hill and Michael Cera, that they genuinely love each other. And even McLovin there in high school, sometimes it's friends of convenience where they live next door and that's just who your friend is. Maybe you don't have a lot, but you care. Like, deep down, you care about them and you would do anything for them. And that's what these guys are. Emma Stone, before Emma Stone.
Before she
was
Emma Stone, yeah.
Bill Hader, Seth Rogen. Like, there's so much good about this movie. But to me, it is about, and I mean, it is. It's not hiding that it's a Jonah Hill, Michael Cera movie. That is what makes the movie for me. Like, you can have the fun stuff with McLovin and the cops. Like, that's funny, but that's whatever. The heart of this movie is their friendship. And it's the same thing is, you know, Jonah Hill thinks this is what he has to do to get Emma Stone. And Michael Cera thinks this is what he has to do to get Becca. And turns out their thoughts were wrong. Whereas in American Pie and Weird Science, they felt like they needed to be somebody else. They learned that they weren't good and they had to be somebody else. Where these guys, they were trying so hard to be somebody else, only to realize that, like, oh, you're fine. You are what they want, not this idea of what you think they want. It's such a good movie. I could go on and on. I love this movie. It's up there among my favorites of all time. Seeing it in the theater opening weekend was one of my favorite. I think the hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater is when he finds the spot on his leg after dancing with Carla Gallo. Like, that is one of the, because the audience is slowly realizing it as the same time as him. I think of that moment and I love it. Like, it just gives me like happy goosebumps. I love this movie.
It's a spot on your leg right now.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's Carla Gallo was here on my lunch. It's such a good movie. I love it. And there was no way I could put anything else as my number one.
It is the most watchable, rewatchable movie on our list for sure. What were the other movies that we're kind of circling for you that we haven't mentioned yet?
Well, I mentioned Clueless because there was that party at the end. And then Mean Girls, the party, I think it was more in the middle. But like, a lot of stuff happened in that party. And that's where like a lot of the characters turned as a result of that party. Like,
yeah, that's sort of the thing, at least for this list. I mean, to do like coming of age movies. They wouldn't necessarily have to be in high school. Stand By Me, the kids were younger than that. Certainly there were a lot of high school movies we just could have put on had
like
we
She's
wanted.
She's All That.
Yeah, had we wanted to do that list, we could have done that. But adding in the party element, I do think that it narrowed things down a little bit because there did have to be an important party moment. And I think that we've hit it on that one for sure. Next week is a little more straightforward with The Dirt. And then we go a week after with another list episode that sounded like it was going to be even harder to do than this week's. But I thought it was much easier.
The only hard part was narrowing it down.
It's cutting
to five.
It off, yeah.
This one was kind of tough filling out the five. Yes. This one was, in 2 weeks, it was tough to narrow it down to five.
Yeah, so all you got to do is listen to our Dirt episode next week, and then you will find out what that list we are talking about is. But until then,
keep it up.